It is 8:02. Good morning and welcome back. Halfway home this Tuesday. First day of the week for many of you, the work week, as I should say. The first day of the week for all of us is Sunday. Often we forget that. Monday, the first day of the work week for most of us. However, some of you off yesterday for the holiday, the MLK holiday, also Alabama, an official state holiday, Robert E. Lee holiday, something that I've long maintained could be rolled into Confederate Memorial Day. And then you take Confederate Memorial Day and just roll it on into Memorial Day. And there you go. State employees have two less days off. 545-9950, 545-9950. That's the Birmingham Broker phone line. We are anticipating a call on the Birmingham Broker hotline from the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. I have it on good authority from my connections, our connections here at Talk 99.5 and Matt Murphy to the Barber Motorsports people that as soon as the Wiener Mobile rolls into town and rolls into Barber Motorsports, they will be on the phone with this radio show. I'm excited.
The driver is going to be, the actual driver is going to be on with us.
So he can give us an actual on-the-scene description of what's inside of the Wienermobile.
Right, and how it feels when he's driving, you know, how much, you know, torque does it have?
Does
0 to 60 and
does
on.
The Wienermobile, like, does it tilt if if you get a stiff wind?
Yeah, I wondered about that. Get the wind underneath the bun or the dog right there?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I mean, does the Wiener try to fly?
The flying wiener, I don't know.
You know, you get the, yeah. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be better. I know there's youngsters that listen to the show. Parents and grandparents encourage their children and grandchildren to listen to Matt Murphy and Richard Dixon, Tim and Valerie, Leland Whaley. God forbid you're listening to Whaley with the cursing and the cursing and the... I'm fielding a message about that right now, as a matter of fact. I will send this to Leland and see what he thinks about it. I did not hear the word in question, but there's a grandfather that's very upset. I don't know. These times will make anybody curse. So I have a hard time being that frustrated with it. Anyway, we're also talking about just the awful nature in which the Democrats and other leftists are treating the National Guard. They don't like the military very much, and that much is evident. There are 26,000 National Guard troops, almost 26,000, going into Washington, D.C., or already in place in Washington, D.C. It is an insult, to say the least, when representatives like Steve Cohen say nasty things about the National Guard, and they insist on vetting the National Guard on top of the already extreme vetting that they've already gotten with the National Guard. It's ridiculous. Should we take precautions? Of course. Obviously, we do every inauguration. But the manner in which the Democrats are showing their hands here, it's very telling. Very telling. In the meantime, the lottery in every state other than us, it seems, ongoing. Has Mississippi got their... They have the lottery up and running now, right? So every state surrounding Alabama has a lottery. And really, outside of Alabama... Okay, let me try to guess. I want to say, John Bird, fact check me on this, sir.
I'm on it.
Alabama, Utah, maybe Hawaii. It's either Hawaii or Alaska.
Okay, and, I've got them here. Let's see.
All right. Alabama, states with no lottery.
Okay, here
okay.
We go.
Alabama.
Got it.
Utah.
Yes.
Nevada.
Yes.
And I want to say Alaska or Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh. You've got 5 out of 6. You got one more to go. Come on, Murphy. That was 5 that you got right.
There's Alaska and Hawaii both?
Yes.
Both? Okay. One more?
It's close to us.
Now, see, because Mississippi has the lottery now.
Okay. Well, it says Mississippi. Now,
Mississippi, that's an old list. It has
January 3rd, 2020?
I promise you, Mississippi has I think they have the lottery already. I think they've already instituted the lottery. Let's find out. One way or the other, we're one of the only states. Mississippi has passed a lottery, whether it's been initiated or not. And we don't have it. And a lot of Alabamians, you go to the dang border. You go across the border. You look at the line outside of Robinson's convenience store just across the line. in Georgia, and you look at the license plates over there and you tell me we're not losing money. And I'm not suggesting it's a good way to fund government. It's not a good way to fund government. I am suggesting to you that we're spending the money anyway, and it's just walking across state lines. It's stupid.
Yeah, they do have. As of January 30th, 2020.
So Nevada, for obvious reasons, they want to promote gambling, you know, table games and slot machines and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Alaska and Hawaii don't do it. Is it too hard to get it over there on the island? Maybe they don't need it. I mean, Hawaii's got the tourism. Alaska's got all of that oil money. And so they don't really need lottery money, I would suggest. Utah, a bunch of Mormons. And there you go.
Congratulations. That 5 for 5.
No offense to you, Mormon. I don't say that to be offensive. When I say, you know, just a bunch of Mormons out there in Utah.
How about there are Mormons out there?
You know, I don't care if I offend you people out there in Utah because you elected Mitt frickin' Romney. So whatever, you bunch of Mormons. No offense. Let's see who's held the longest. It's Chris's turn. Chris, thank you for your patience. Good morning. I'll get out of the way and give you the floor, sir. Good morning.
Hell. How are you, Matt?
I'm good.
I was just, I was thinking, they opened the door to this congressman, hey, we need to vet the National Guard. I'm giving it about a week before a story pops up that somebody got pulled over on I-65 going 95 miles an hour and wouldn't roll down their window until the trooper told them who they voted for. If you can sit there and vet the National Guard and try to get that kind of information out of them, they're just going to take it even further. And it's going to be, well, you voted for Trump, so obviously you're racist. We need to have another state trooper down here. It's insane. It's just complete insanity. And I'm been losing my mind over the amount of adjectives that they have come up with describing, you know, the insurrection now. People went out and spent gobs of money on a thesaurus just to come up with new words to describe something that wasn't a tenth as bad as anything in Seattle or Portland or Detroit or anywhere. Just crazy times, my friend.
No, it is. And to go after a large section, over 75 million Americans, in the fashion that they're going after Trump supporters and Trump voters, with no pushback that I've heard. I've heard some mild pushback, seen some mild pushback by commentators on Fox News. Certainly Tucker Carlson was on top of it last night. I saw his opening monologue and it was tip top. Newsmax has pushed back. Where are my Republican elected officials pushing back on this narrative? It is just awful, the suggestion. And if you think I'm making more of it than I should, I'll direct you. I'm not going to play it. We could, but I do not wish to give a zero. I'm going to repeat it only because I want to illustrate the point. I want to give zero airtime to #NeverCNN. I don't wish this a lot, but if that garbage network went under, it would be a glorious day. Based on what he has done to the United States of America and to journalism in this country, if Jeff Zucker ends up penniless under a bridge, it would be too much for him. I mean that. Yesterday on CNN, Representative Steve Cohen, a man that Tennessee people voted for, said that we needed to worry about an inside job, indicating that, well, former India Prime Minister Indira Gandhi was assassinated by her own bodyguards. I mean, just the very insinuation there is repugnant. But he went further. The National Guard is 90-something odd percent male. The National Guard is 90-some odd percent male. And only about 20% of white males voted for Biden. You've got to figure that the Guard, which is predominantly more conservative, they're probably not more than 25% of the people that they're protecting us that voted for Biden. The other 75% are in the large class of folks that might want to do something. This is a man on national television accusing every Trump supporter of wanting to harm other people. Believe it or not, Jim Scotto actually pushed back and said, well, hold on, being a Trump voter is far different from being a threat of violence. And when asked to substantiate his claim, Cohen said, you draw a circle first around Trump voters in the guard that you should be suspect of. In other words, merely by voting for Donald Trump makes you suspect. Merely by being white makes you suspect. Merely by being male makes you suspect. A Democrat congressman in the House of Representatives is now openly suggesting that if you voted for Trump, you might be a seditionist. Bob is next in Germany. Hello, Bob.
Hello there, Matt. Say, buddy, before Trump was even voted for or took the presidential office, we were known as deplorables, anybody who was for him. So even all before the 4 years of his campaign happened, you know. So we know what we're classified as, according to the Democrats. But during the inauguration ceremony, This deceitful heart, Biden is going to lay his hand on the Holy Bible thing and that God is going to answer that. If you have a deceitful heart, God won't answer anything that comes out of that hole in your face. But if you're sincere and want to repent of all the wrongs that you did, because we know that Biden and all those people did wrong, so God is not going to honor that oath.
Well, I understand the nature of what you're saying. What does that mean, though, Bob? I mean, he'll still be president.
Ritual, but, I mean, protecting the Constitution of the United States and everything, but they didn't protect it for the Republicans.
Say that again, Bob.
The Democrats didn't protect the Constitution and uphold it for the Republicans, too. They cheated on the Constitution and everything.
Well, but we're better than them, aren't we?
Yes, sir, buddy, we are. But the ceremony itself does not mean a hill of beans. If they have a deceitful heart and they deceive the... that's all through this campaign. These campaigns have been on trying to get our president revoted.
I just want to see, and I've got hard money on him not being able to do it. I just want to see Joe Biden get through the oath of office without screwing it up.
Yes, sir. I'm with it, Matt.
And I don't believe that he can. I don't believe that Joe Biden can overcome the gravity of the moment. I mean, hell, the man's been angling. If you want to talk about swamp critters, I mean, let's think about this for a moment, right? I mean, forget the minutiae of the voter inconsistencies and some states not following their own laws, illegal aliens voting, irregular practices, vote harvesting through mail-in ballots. Forget all of that for a moment and just step back. Donald Trump ran on the premise of draining the swamp. Washington, D.C. no longer represents you, the American people, and I'm going to get Washington back to its proper and constitutional role by draining the swamp. Donald Trump got a lot accomplished in 3+ years. His last year was mired with COVID, and it was a pretty bad last week or last couple of weeks. I'll be honest with you. January 6th was not Donald Trump's finest day. And certainly, the narrative was stolen by those you-know-whats in the Capitol that ought to be arrested and jailed. And so I'm not diminishing Donald Trump's accomplishments when I say this. Donald Trump's goal was to drain the swamp. The swamp fought back. And as swampy as the swamp can get, it got even swampier with all of this going on in the past year. And they elected the swampiest of the swamp. This guy's been around for almost a half a century in Washington, D.C. It doesn't get swampier than Joe Biden. I'm just sad that he has no idea what's going on and he can't revel in it. I mean, the poor fella, He's been waiting for this all of his life, and he has little to no clue what the hell's happening to him. Joe Mulla will be a fine president if you're a socialist. 16 after the hour, my name is Matt Murphy, and we'll get to more of your calls momentarily. Tracy, Delane, and DeChase, I'd love to hear from you. John Byrd is a shadow of his former self. He's on his journey. He's a week and a couple of days in now. And I say to him this morning, I say, Byrd. And he said, yes. How much weight have you lost? John, how much weight have you lost with Weight of Wellness?
6.5 pounds.
6.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
First week.
Yep.
Man, oh man. You're looking better, Byrd. You know, you're feeling a little confident. I mean, there's much more to lose. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got plenty in there. You got like another, 50 pounds or so? You want to get down to, what do you want to get down to? Do you have a goal, John?
Yes, 200. I want to get down to 200, so I've got about 52 pounds left.
52 pounds. You can do it. Well, I know you can do it because of Weight of Wellness. That's the key. They make it so simple. You don't have to think. And that's good when you're John Byrd. Thinking is not his forte.
Duh.
Eating used to be his forte, but now six times a day he's eating those meals, and he doesn't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. I've said for a long time, in all seriousness, it is nice because if you bring the want to, they'll bring the how to. They present it to you, and off you go. You lose the weight you've been meaning to lose with Weight of Wellness. It's time that you lost that 10 or that 15 or that 110 or that 115. Call Weight of Wellness. The process begins with a visit to the website, aplanforme.com. That's aplanforme.com for our friends at Weight of Wellness. Supportive. Dr. Real medically supervises every single patient, and they want to see you next. Call now for a free consultation because they're running a week, maybe 2 weeks out in terms of scheduling those consultations because so many of you want to get on the program of success that I enjoy, that John enjoys. It's Way to Wellness. It is 8:22. Back to the phone calls. A lot of you holding for some time. Thank you for your patience on the Birmingham Broker phone lines. Real quick, John Byrd, why do you hate me, or why do you hate Dolly Parton? It has to be one of the two, because you are well aware of my love of Dolly Parton. Most love her. I love her on an elevated level. You've known for the last hour that it was Dolly Parton's birthday today. Valerie just mentioned that she's 75 today, and I've not heard one Dolly Parton song. By God, I ought to, by all rights, fire you on the spot and dismiss you from your post as we speak. There's no excuse.
Artist Dolly all the time now.
You know what? Don't force it, Byrd. Okay. Don't. You know, if you... I don't know that there's a way to extricate yourself from this hole you've dug. The woman is an American treasure.
She is. I love her.
By all rights, it ought to be all Dolly all the time, every day.
Yeah, she's something else. Her sister, not so much.
I mean, Elvis has a birthday, and we... Elvis! John loves Elvis!
Everyone out there, please forgive me. I'm human.
Jolene? No, it's not about you, John. It's not about you. It's about Dolly. Don't make this about you. Don't make this about your big noggin. Make it about Dolly's big heart.
Her heart.
Heart.
Yes, her heart. I shall.
Make it about you.
Sorry.
American treasure.
She is.
I'd love to see her bust in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. thank you. I'll be here all week. Delane is next. Hey, Delane.
Hey, Matt. In response to Steve Cohen's issue with the guard being too white, there's a very easy solution to that. Reinstate the draft.
Well, then everybody gets to enjoy the...
That's exactly right.
I don't disagree with... Well, we could talk about the reinstatement of the draft, but I understand your point. If Steve Cohen really wants to make the point, he should call for every American to serve in some capacity, whether it be in the military, the National Guard, some form of civilian corps. I don't care. Why doesn't everyone serve the country and salute the flag? Yeah. Well, Ms. Delane, great call. Oh, thank you. And thank you for Delane is one of my support group on Facebook Messenger. I appreciate you, Delane. It is 25 after the hour. Valerie Vining comes by now. She steps up to the microphone with a batch of first news. Would love to hear from you. 545-9950. The Oscar Mayer Wiener will be calling in momentarily.
Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can.
I'm not sure that we should be proud of the...
Your smile is like a breath of spring.
Proud of the juxtaposition presented here.
And I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
Oscar Mayer Wieners. Dolly Parton.
Talks about you in his sleep.
Oh, National Guard. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts going on. 545-9950, the telephone number, 545-9950. It is Dolly Parton's birthday today. She is 75. The beloved Dolly Parton, the beloved Tennessean, all across the United States of America and across the world. Who doesn't love Dolly Parton? Who doesn't love? And really, some of the work that she's done, it's just getting some attention over the last couple of years. The work that she did in the aftermath of the horrible fires that happened in and around the Chattanooga, Pigeon Forge area, giving every resident $1,000 or whatnot. Then the incredible charity work that she's done, giving away books, millions upon millions upon millions of books, and given away to children all across America and all across the world. Thanks to Dolly Parton. It really would mean something if Dolly Parton were put, for example, in the state capitol, because I believe, is there more beloved an American than Dolly Parton? And I understand that she got pulled into some commentary about the BLM movement back in the day. I don't think she necessarily knew what she was getting into in that regard. And by the way, what she said was appropriate. She said, well, you know, every life, yeah, of course they matter. Do black lives matter? Well, yeah, of course they matter. Every life matters. Not just white lives, all lives. 545-9950, that is the Birmingham Broker phone lines. It is Chase's turn, beating out Tracy by a couple of minutes. Hey, Chase, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Number one, just hope you're having a great morning. You guys are always doing a great job on the show. I just want to throw in a couple of things about the National Guard pretty quick. Number one, I'm going to echo that it's an insult that these people are getting vetted again. Because, I mean, I had to go through the same process as well because I was in the National Guard, and it's just an insult to the uniform. And two, I just hate that D.C. is starting to look like East Berlin right now. I mean, that when I saw a picture of it, that's kind of what it reminded me of. And another thing, I've got a very close family relative who's in the Air Force Reserve who said that they're making them take the COVID vaccine. But he also was informed that it's going to have some type of translucent chemical that will allow them to track where they're at. So I'm just not liking what I'm seeing my country, what it's turning into.
All right, let me unpack this piece by piece. A couple of important subject matters. One, what is going on in Washington, D.C.? I do believe that the Democrats have taken what happened, as awful as it was on January 6th, and they're taking it to another level. And I think that you'll see parts of Washington, D.C. closed off permanently to the American public, and it's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Whether that is the Capitol building itself, the surrounding area around the Capitol building, the steps of the Capitol building, or by extension, some other federal buildings. And it's a damn shame, and that's on the Democrats, because in the grand scheme of things, I know there were a lot of people on that day. I mean, few is a relative term, but if you're considering the hundreds of thousands of people who are in Washington, D.C. for the rally itself, there was a relative few that went to the Capitol and caused all of this. So it's a crying shame that we should see that happen. And you're right. And there are some, and I referenced Tucker Carlson on Fox News, his monologue last night. He thinks this is on purpose, that it's the Democrats looking across America and saying, we're in control, we're in power now, and we're not afraid to use these uniforms because we know that we will not be called out on it by most in the mainstream media. The other part that I want to float, the vaccination and the translucent, I've heard this, I've seen it online, it just smacks of online urban legend and conspiracy theory to me. It does. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's my first reaction. I will not take the vaccine for fear of the vaccine, nor will I not take the vaccine for fear that somehow the government will be able to track me based on what they put in my body. I don't even know if that technology is possible, Chase, is it?
Like I said, this is just what I heard from a family member. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's just the idea of like they were even floating that around is a scary thought, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of crazy stuff online, right? And thanks for the call, Chase. I saw something online. A buddy of mine, as a matter of fact, who doesn't regularly listen to the show, posted this to me, private message on Facebook Messenger. And it was basically this. Murphy, I have heard that Trump is meeting with the military as we speak, and they know what Joe Biden and the Democrats did. And they're just lying in wait because once he puts his hand on a Bible and they begin the process of swearing him in, he has committed high crimes and misdemeanors and treason and whatnot, and that merits his immediate arrest, and the military will immediately take over and they'll arrest him, and Donald Trump will be president of the United States. And here's the thing. I get it. I get that conspiracy theories and urban legends and these sorts of things have been around a long time, a lot longer than the internet. The internet has only amplified them, really exponentially. And I also get that when emotions run high, you see it in times of tragedy, 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, Joe Biden's election. You see it in times of great triumph, and you see it in times like this, where individuals on a particular side of any particular issue are emotional enough that they want to cling to something for hope. It might merit another conversation about hope. Hope is an interesting emotion because it can represent the most wonderful and positive of things. It is a choosing to be optimistic. However, hope is the most pessimistic of emotions because you are admitting and accepting, oh, don't look at me funny, John Bird. I'm going there and I'm right.
Really?
If you hold on.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
Hope. What is hope? You are relying on exterior circumstances beyond your control to alter the fate of a given situation. Is that not correct?
I guess. I just don't know, Murphy.
Hope and faith are two different things, although faith is similar to hope. Faith is similar to hope with the exception that you are infusing a religious component to the thing. So hope, what is hope? Hope is, and John, I'm listening to what are you doing in there? What do you got in there? I'm just asking you. You said it is. What?
Oh, no. Let's see. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. You nailed it.
Exterior to your own personal control is what I would add to that. So
you're right.
If I want to get out of my apartment, I don't like my apartment. My apartment's dirty. My apartment has roaches. But it's the only thing I can afford right now. But I have Saturdays and Sundays open. Able-bodied person. I work full-time during the week, Maybe I could pick me up some part-time work on the weekends over at that convenience store there, that new Buc-ee's, and earn a little money and put that back and save for a security deposit and get in a better place. Am I hoping to get in a better place, or am I actively engaged in an effort to do something to get in a better place? Of course I'm engaged. Hope is ultimately an admission that you either have an unwillingness or an inability to alter the circumstances that you find yourself in. Now, does that mean that hope is automatically bad? No, because it's a choosing to believe in a positive fashion. It is a choosing to be ready for the possibility that something is about to come along that can alter your circumstances for the better. And I know that it is kind of in the clouds what I'm about to say here, but bear with me. You ought to want to never have to rely on hope, because when you do, it is at a loss of control.
I agree. That's a good way to put it.
So a lot of people for the last several weeks on high emotional alert based on the outcome of the election that will happen yesterday. And by outcome, I mean, I'm not saying legitimate necessarily or illegitimate. I'm just saying outcome. A lot of you, a lot of, well, for a certain amount of time, me. You put hope in things that have not come to fruition. And now we're left with conspiracy theories about Donald Trump and the military and arresting Joe Biden and arresting Mike Pence, none of which is going to happen. None of which is going to happen. One of the reasons that I'm so angry at Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell is because I put my hope in them. I have no ability to affect the outcome of those circumstances, but I hoped that they did, and they didn't. It was all a lie. And so it's one of the reasons I'm such a fan of the movies Shawshank Redemption. But at Shawshank Redemption, one of the central themes in Shawshank is hope. And how under the right circumstances, all you're left with is hope. And under the wrong circumstances, hope can drive you insane. And I think it's doing that with some Trump supporters right now. And that's what I'm here for. Because I think that we can develop a plan together, an action plan together over the next several years that doesn't rely on hope, relies on movement, relies on us. And so when you hear me frustrated with a Trump supporter on the radio because they say, oh, what's the use? Just vote doesn't count. Give up. Just give up. Well, I do get frustrated because your giving up means that there's one less person to engage in the effort, the ongoing effort, the never-ending effort to keep America. But we'll keep fighting. And in a lot of ways, we'll keep hoping. Absco Fireplace and Patio doesn't hope that you'll come by. They trust that you'll come by, and I do too, because they are great at what they do. I had the wonderful opportunity to sit down with Joy and Kathy and Scott. They have three full generations of Absco Fireplace and Patio personnel, family-owned for those three generations, obviously. And they're great at what they do. And Kathy reminded me that it's not just about the fireplace and the gas logs. They do have fire pits. You know, there was a run on fire pits with everyone in their backyards this season. But they have a couple of them. You'll have to get that VW microbus before me. It is a VW microbus fire pit that also doubles as a grill. You'll have to see it yourself. They have one at the 280 location. Go by and say hello to Kathy and Scott. And don't forget that before the springtime, you need to go ahead and plan on your patio furniture in the backyard, because there are manufacturers that aren't manufacturing because of COVID, and that limits the supply, and you know what happens then. So go by Absco Fireplace Patio. All right, Talk 99.5, Birmingham Broker phone lines up and running, 545-9950. Would love to hear your thoughts, whether it be on national politics, the lottery coming. There's a caravan coming to the southern border, the National Guard being insulted by Democrats as we speak. My rant on hope, or at least my monologue on the nature of hope, it can be both a positive and a negative. I mean, and a lot of emotions are that way, right? It's all about the manner in which we utilize them. Tracy is next in Tuscaloosa with Matt Murphy and Talk 99.5. Tracy, thank you.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Tracy. How are you?
Happy birthday to Dolly.
Well, happy birthday to Dolly Parton, one of the finer Americans.
Exactly.
Alive today.
Exactly. Who can't love Dolly?
Oh, come on.
The National Guard. I think that a lot of times, you know, the Democrats are notorious for putting out there and blaming on others what they're going to do themselves. So I just wonder if somebody within the Democratic Party, they're trying to rally Antifa or the Black Lives Matter to take out Joe Biden.
All right, wait a minute. Say that again. The Democrat, they want to rally around Black Lives Matter?
No. Yeah,
say it again.
No, I just figure that, you know, they're very notorious for putting out there the idea and blaming on others what they're doing themselves.
Well, I mean, the narrative around Joe Biden and his mental preparedness to be president of the United States has been ongoing for some time. We've been talking about it for some time. I do believe that if there was a swamp effort I'm sorry, John, I'm getting louder in there. You need to do something. If there was a concerted swamp effort in order to take Joe Biden out, I don't think it would happen at the inauguration. I think that they would sit down with him and convince him that that was the right thing to do.
I don't know. Sometimes I just think they push violence, you know.
No, they utilize violence to their own ends. There's no doubt about that. Sorry, Tracy, I had a little audio issue there for just a moment. I apologize if I sounded a little discombobulated. That's my bad. 545-9950, the telephone number if you'd like to be a part of the show. 545-9950. Maybe put on the headphones there, John. That might help. I think that would help with regard to hearing what I'm... It's fine now, though. It's fine now. You're all right. I do want to remind you folks about WaveTech Therapy. What good people and what a great brand new technology I have found, and I want to impart that knowledge to you, and that is with WaveTech. Tim at WaveTech reminds you guys, if you have experienced, and I know it's a delicate conversation to have, but if you've had experience with ED, it's a private matter, and they respect that at WaveTech Therapy, but it also can be frustrating because heretofore, you didn't have a lot of options. You had the pill, which has its drawbacks, because apparently you take that. I don't know from personal experience, but you take that and then you have to, there's a time parameter going on there, or there's, my goodness gracious, shots, which I don't even know what in the world that's about. And then there's surgery, and who wants that? You can regain your life, men, without any of these things. WaveTech Therapy is an acoustical wave therapy. It's FDA approved and it does work between 2 and 6 sessions, and they can get you back into a performance like you used to have. Catch the wave, WaveTechBirmingham.com. That's WaveTechBirmingham.com or 777-3736. 777-3736 for my friends at WaveTech. That's right, 53 after the hour. That's my bad, John. That's my fault. I just lost my mind there for a moment. All right, when we return, we'll do Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. We'll take your telephone calls. I don't have enough time to get to one right now, and I don't want to rush anyone because Valerie Vining is stepping up to the microphone and delivering the news. And then there's the caravan that's coming, before you know it, to the southern border. I can't help but be amused to a certain degree about this. The Democrats have argued for the last 4 years for open borders. And anyone reasonable discussing this issue I do believe that it's possible to have a difference of opinion about our immigration policy. And there are some that say, well, we're a nation of immigrants and we should continue to have a formalized immigration policy that promotes the inclusion of people from other nations. And we should bring them in and we should vet them and we should get them into the United States of America. And that's all well and good. That's not what the Democrats in power are arguing or have been arguing. They've been arguing for an absolute open door policy. Come on in. The water's fine. And now thousands of individuals from Guatemala and Honduras and other nations are coming to the southern border with the expectation that Joe Biden will honor that promise. Let's see what happens. 545-9950. It's Matt Murphy. Talk 99.5. One more hour to go. All righty then. Yes, indeed it is. Talk 99.5. Hour number 4 of the big show. It's 9:03. Good morning. Welcome back. Pleased you've decided to join us. Whatever time you're able to give us, we're certainly appreciative of that. We're here for a full 4 hours, 240 minutes. After that, we hand the baton to Tim Melton and Valerie Vining. They call it News and Views until noon. Right at that time, Richard Dixon picks up said baton and walks it to Leland Whaley at 3 o'clock. 13 hours of live and local conversation on Talk 99.5. John Byrd, while I'm talking to Chris Molesky, I want you to do me a favor.
You got it,
Murph. I just saw on monitor number 4, believe it or not, occasionally hashtag never CNN actually reaches these airwaves. Or no, not these airwaves, but my eyeballs.
Yeah.
We don't do it on the air, my ear waves.
Right.
And I just saw something, and this involves math, John.
Oh, okay.
It involves math, then research. Math, then research. All right, so in this order, do the math, do the research. I'll talk to Molesky, and you can report back in.
Okay.
So 2020 minus 152 in terms of years, because the crawl was that Donald Trump will be the first president of the United States to skip his successor's inaugural in 152 years, which means it's happened before, and I want to know what year it happened, and then I want to know who was the president that skipped it and who was the president who was being inaugurated. I'm very curious about these things.
I'm on it, man. I'm going to have it by the time you're done.
By the way, I don't have a problem. One of the things that I don't have a problem with that so many people seem to get heartburn about under the Trump presidency is his willingness to cut out all of the nonsensical pomp and circumstance that involves the presidency of the United States. You know, some of it he's kept going with. Oh, you got to pardon a turkey. Oh, you got to let the... I mean, that's all well and good, I guess. But this nonsense about, well, you're president, you have to, .. You have to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner to listen to them bash you mercilessly. No, actually, I don't. I can stay at home. Similarly, he doesn't have to be at the inauguration. And frankly, if I were Joe Biden, God forbid, if I were Joe Biden, I wouldn't know my butt from a hole in the ground. But if I were Joe Biden, I wouldn't want him there to begin with. If I were Jomala, I wouldn't want him there to begin with. He would be a distraction. Chris Molesky is a pleasant distraction from the news of the day because he's all about saving people money, putting more money back in your wallet and in your pocket. Hey, Molesky, how are you?
Hey, good. And this could be the world's longest commercial for Hometown because if John's got to do research, that could take a while.
He's got to find his keys. Got to go down to the public library. He's got to look on the microfiche.
Yes. Guard catalog.
That's right. That's right. Hey, excuse me. I need to speak to Mr. Dewey, please.
The Dewey Decimal System. There we go.
Oh, man. Well, we can take our time, but you know, it's always a good time to talk about saving folks money. We do it on a regular basis, almost day to day, Chris. But we want to remind new listeners and maybe old listeners who just think, it's not for me. I'm not in the right place. I know you've helped so many people that have said to you, you know, I thought you couldn't do something, but ..
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the people that think they're not in the right place usually end up being the people that are in the exact right place because we kind of consider ourselves problem solvers. If you've got equity built up in that home, if you've been in that house for a while with where rates are, all those things kind of start fitting together and there's money to be saved, that's a problem. That's a problem solving thing right there, where if it's a lot of debt that you've got, and we know the bills are coming due from Christmas, and I just don't want people to just to rinse repeat that same process of, I'm just going to work on paying it down for this year, and then I'll use it again at the end of the year for Christmas. Let's get all our finances in order. Let's make 2020 start right. Plus, the opportunity maybe to skip a mortgage payment or two, you're putting a lot of money back into your budget and really helping yourself out. And we watch it happen every day.
Well, I know you do. And I know you've helped so many. I'm just one of the many that you've helped. And I'll tell you, it really changes the way that I talk about Hometown Lenders. Not that I didn't believe in you guys before, but when you experience it and you see the savings month to month and you see the money coming back that you can do home improvements with, I mean, it makes it a reality.
It really does. And there's no better feeling than when all of a sudden everything is lined up and you've got more options, your money's in the right place, you're feeling better, it takes stress off. I just encourage people to go to savewith995.com, start there, and we'll get that process going for you today.
No doubt, it's time to give a call to Hometown Lenders like we've been telling you to do for so, so long. It starts with savewith995.com. That's the new web address, savewith995.com. And it'll point you in the right direction to Chris Molesky and the entire crew at Hometown Lenders and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 65084. Chris, have a wonderful day. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, you better believe it. I'll go help John. I'll go help.
Yeah, I mean,
John,
he's still trying to get his car cranked to get to the library.
No, I got it ready.
So.
I'm ready.
Oh, he says he's ready, Molesky.
Now, that, Chris.
Oh, we're going to find out. All right, see you, man. There's Chris Molesky, Hometown Lenders. Okay, 152 years ago was what year, John?
That was 1868.
Okay, this starts to make sense. That would be the impeached Andrew Johnson, and Ulysses S. Grant was the incoming president, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yes, there are three others.
Uh-huh.
John Adams.
John Adams did not attend. Wait a minute, so that would have been Thomas Jefferson?
Yes.
He did not. John. Oh, well, those are two biggies. And whom else?
And oddly enough, John Quincy Adams did not.
That would be Andrew Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Wan. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you won't get this one. Martin Van Buren, who's incoming.
Martin Van Buren was the exiting president?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So Washington, Adams, Jefferson, James Madison, Martin Van Buren would have been number. Is that number five?
Number five was the one you said, Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson was number 17.
In the once again,
I thought Andrew Jackson was number 8. That would mean John Quincy Adams was number 7, but I might have that wrong. Martin Van Buren's in there somewhere. Martin Van Buren might be number 8.
Yeah.
Now, give me a hint.
Three names. He had three names. That he always used his middle name in with his name.
What, he used his middle name like everybody called him his middle name?
No, it was like
William Henry Harris.
Bingo. Yeah. You're a genius, dude. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
You paid attention in class.
I like my presidential trivia. I'm not as good as some. I'm better than others. Who's the only guy that served non-consecutive terms, John?
Non-consecutive terms?
That's correct. To be split by Rutherford B. Hayes.
Oh, gosh.
Who beat Samuel Tilden in 1876, and that was a very controversial election.
Ulysses Grant.
1876. I think that's right.
It was Ulysses S. Grant.
It was not. It was not Ulysses S. Grant.
John F. Kennedy, I believe.
John F. Kennedy did not serve two terms, John.
He
was delayed in Dallas from a second term. Grover Cleveland.
Yeah. Grover. That's right. Grover Cleveland.
Who was our fattest president, John. You should know this.
Yes. He had a special bathtub made. I do know that.
Mm-hmm. William Howard Taft. Okay, so 11 after the hour. We hope to speak with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile at some point this morning. It is in town. It is setting up shop at Barber Motorsports later on at about 11 o'clock. I don't know why this gives us so much thrill and joy. Sort of like Dolly Parton's birthday. The lottery, up to, gosh, May as well be $1 billion. It feels like $1 billion. And a lot of you are going over to Georgia, to Tennessee, to Florida, wherever you can get them, and grabbing lottery tickets as we speak. No lottery here in the state of Alabama. Plenty of other news to talk about as well, and we'll get to it momentarily. Let me tell you about Hemp Hill Services and the quality plumbing job that they did on my home. I had a leak, and you know, I go into my garage, and you look up, and right underneath the garage door is where my shower, and you know, the bathtub and the sinks are there. And you can kind of figure out from below what the deal is. And I had a leak, and I thought it was coming from the bathtub, but I wasn't sure. Turned out it was coming from the drain in the shower. Couldn't really identify it because, you know, that the water runs down the pipe. It just makes it very difficult to identify. But I knew who to call. I called Chad, Andrew, Adam, not all at once. These are the names that I rely on and trust, plus plenty of others, Ryan and the gang at Hemp Hill Services. Andrew was my lead guy. He had a guy there with him, and I've forgotten the guy's name that was with him, and I apologize to Andrew and the crew. But Andrew came out. He was my point man on plumbing, and he identified the leak. He got the part that he needed. He replaced it. He fixed it, and it is done, and I don't have to worry about it again. That's what they do at Hemp Hill Services. 229-2090. Once again, 229-2090. Don't go wrong with the other guys. Call Hemp Hill. I saw the meme the other day. I've seen it from time to time over the years. By the way, 918, Matt Murphy, John Bird behind the glass, Valerie Vonning, you just heard from her in the Talk 99.5 newsroom. Slim Rob over in the traffic center, thanks for being with us. You can give us a call. First time in a long time, we've had a blank slate of phone calls. 545-9950. That's Talk 99.5's Birmingham broker phone lines. 545-9950. I saw the meme the other day, and it is from the feature film adapted from the musical The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. If you have not seen the movie, you need to see the movie.
That is a good movie.
I always say that I don't know why it just makes me giggle every time I see it. I mean, there's a lot of funny parts in the movie. The governor, played by Charles Durning, is great.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now you see me, now you don't. I'm coming on it.
Burt Reynolds is great. Dom DeLuise is pitch perfect as that expose guy. And, the entire cast. So, and Dolly, of course, as the madam of the chicken ranch. Dolly in that lingerie, that black lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness gracious. And there's a meme that's going around with Dolly in that black lingerie. And it says, I don't know who the hell this Jolene lady is, but she must have been bringing it.
That's good.
But in the movie, and if you've seen it, you'll know the scene I'm talking about. And if you've not, you just have to watch. It's very understated. It's when the sheriff goes to Dom DeLuise before he's going on. And Dom DeLuise has a television show. It's one of these expose type shows, and I forget what his character's name is, and he is about to expose the chicken ranch. Well, Texas has the whorehouse in it.
Lord have mercy on our soul.
Texas has the whorehouse in it.
Lord have mercy on our soul.
And he's getting ready, and he's like, I'm just asking you not to do this. He's asking him not to expose the chicken ranch, and he's getting ready, he puts on his pants, and he's about to buckle his pants, and he looks at the chef, and he says, suck. And what? Suck. And there's a pair of tube socks rolled up, laying in the, sitting on the counter, and he puts it in his pants.
And then buckles up and off he goes.
The old trick.
The old sock trick. Sock. What? Sock.
Anyway, Dolly Parton celebrating her 75th birthday today. Yesterday, just to show you how jittery, and look, I said it earlier this morning, I'll say it again. Every single member of the National Guard ought to be ticked as hell at the Democrats and the mainstream media for doing what they're doing. It is an insult, to say the least. I mean, think about this. The Democrats in Washington, D.C., and the mainstream media have the unmitigated gall, the audacity to, A, call what happened on January 6th a quote-unquote insurrection. That's an insult to insurrections. That was not an that was lawless, and it was violent, and it was awful, and it was horrible, and I condemn it, and they ought to be arrested and put in jail. From the beginning, we've said this. If the purpose of an insurrection is to topple a government and replace it with your own, if you call this an insurrection, it's the worst damn insurrection in the history of insurrections. A bunch of blathering, bumbling, conspiracy theory morons dressed up like they're going to a Halloween party. And yeah, there were probably some plants in there too. I don't dismiss that. We know that. But the most of them were self-stated Trump supporters. Everybody's got crazies, y'all. Everybody's got crazies. Well, the Democrats believe in the mantra of never letting a crisis go to waste, and so they don't. And they talk about sedition and talk about insurrection and say, oh, we're going to charge Mo Brooks and we're going to charge Rudy Giuliani and we're going to charge Donald Trump, all of which is just ridiculous. At first, remember the Capitol Police were racist because they didn't shoot anybody or more people? Oh, if this had been Black Lives Matter, they would have shot the place up. Then they realized, well, that might not play that well because the Capitol Police put their lives on the line to protect the House of Representatives and the Senate. They put the lives on the line to protect those people in that building. One of them lost his life after being smashed in the head with a fire extinguisher and maced by these scumbags. And so they changed the narrative a couple of times in the initial days in the aftermath of the January 6th event. And eventually declaring insurrection, they said, we've got to lock down the Capitol. We've got to move the military in the form of the National Guard to make sure that none of this happens again. And so they do. And it wasn't long before the call for the National Guard went out that suddenly the National Guard became the bad guy. Representative Steve Cohen, just an example. I mean, what in the hell? Oh, well, the National Guard is made up of a lot of conservatives. And, you know, 90% of them are white and man and male. And that's a problem. Representative Steve Cohen said, if you're white and you're male and you voted for Donald Trump, that you ought to have a star on your chest as a symbol of suspicion that you are ready to overthrow the government. And Republicans just sit back and don't say anything. Well, I'm not going to allow an inauguration to stop my fight back. I'll keep clapping back, and I hope you do too. It's Talk 99.5.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece we loved, she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, why, was rich as I could be, in my coat of many colors my mama made for me.
All right, Talk 99.5, 9:30, good morning.
So with patches on my britches,
pleased you have joined us. Matt Murphy, John Bird, Valerie Vining in the newsroom, Slim Robin, you on the phones, 545-9950, 545-9950. Also, Dolly joining us as well. I got this message. I'll get back to phone calls momentarily. I got this message, and I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from. Fence Post writes in, unless you're just attempting to be an antagonist, you're wrong. Hope is a key component to action. Don't allow a beautiful thing to be cheapened. To explain hope as a bad thing is misleading to those who don't take the time to think it through. Akin to bless your heart, social media cheapened a beautiful Southern sentiment. Well, I have an expectation. I'm not going to cheapen the dialogue that we have, Fence Post. No disrespect to you. I have an expectation that we have the smartest listening audience on planet Earth, and they fully understand what I mean when I say hope can be a myriad of things, but hope can be a crutch. If you hope with no action, you are leaving your future to exterior circumstances and hoping that your situation changes for the better due to those exterior circumstances. Hope with action can be a positive force and a positive change and a positive thing. I'm going to take action uncertain of the circumstances, but I shall hope that those will change for the positive, not only based on exterior circumstances, but also the action that I'm individually taking. I think many people far too often think that hope is a substitute. Not you, Fence Post, and not most listening to me right now, but many. I just don't want it to be a substitute for action, is my entire point. 545-9950, the telephone number if you'd like to be a part of the show. 545-9950. I mentioned that there was some activity on Capitol Hill yesterday. Believe it or not, I mean, this is the powder keg that is Washington, D.C. And I do believe, by the way, that there are members of the mainstream media and potentially politicians that would love nothing other to take advantage of any chaos-based opportunity. I'll put it that way. I try not to pretend that I understand the thought process of most people, but I can draw no other conclusion based on the way that they're talking. Yesterday, the U.S. Capitol locked down during a rehearsal for Joe Biden's inauguration. The alarm caused a security concern to go up. They told the stand-ins, Biden and other VIPs, the U.S. Marine Corps band, all of this practice ceremony had to be stopped. They pushed people into the Capitol building, told them to lockdown in place. It resumed not long afterwards because it was discovered to be something of a false alarm. The reason they did so is there was a plume of smoke that was in the air. I don't know if there was any noise accompanying. Well, there wasn't, because this plume of smoke, no one knew what it was all about, and they saw the plume of smoke in the distance a mile or so away. And we got to lock down. And it turns out that plume of smoke was a was a fire at a homeless encampment. Apparently very cold in Washington, D.C., and the homeless people did not want to become bumsicles, and so they were burning that which was around them, cardboard and the like, which was causing a good amount of smoke. And so there you go. Needless to say that there are some that are on edge hoping that nothing goes down. There are some that are on edge that have their own agendas. The number of Alabamians hospitalized with COVID-19 has decreased this week. That's good news as more and more people attempt to get the vaccine. I mean, this vaccine rollout has been fraught with mistakes, and one would expect that that is the case. However, it is getting smoother. Some states have reacted better than Alabama. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Alabama, I mean, I would love an opportunity to speak with Dr. Harris and figure out exactly what went wrong. And I know the governor wants nothing more than a smooth rollout, but she is ultimately responsible for that rollout. And so if it goes smoothly, she gets the credit. She ought to, right, get the blame if that's not the case. That's the way that this works, right? Even if the governor, any governor, has nothing to do with the economy, when the economy is going great, they get a credit. When the economy is going crappy, they don't get the credit. They get the blame. Same thing here. You know, when you have the authority, I mean, you know, I know people in the governor's office. I think Joe Bonner's a good man as chief of staff. Governor Kay Ivey, I think she has the best interest of Alabamians at heart. She wants to see this thing behind us. I'm not questioning the motivation. I'm questioning the implementation. We're behind. Does it bother any? We're behind like everybody in terms of rollout of vaccines. Why are 65 plus people, are they not getting the vaccine yet? Has every first responder that wants the vaccine gotten it? You should have. Is it not time to open the doors and allow more people to come in and receive the vaccine? Pray tell. You know, once again, if you have the latitude as governor of the state of Alabama, let's think about this for a moment. In times like these, you justify an emergency declaration based on the severity of the issue. And you justify it based on your need as governor to make swift decisions absent the clutter of political debate or political back and forth. We don't need to talk to the legislature about this. We don't need to run this through the people. I need emergency declaratory power. Therefore, I can make these decisions unilaterally to get help to the people that need it most. And so with that emergency declaratory power comes an extreme responsibility, does it not? So I have to point the finger to the governor's office and say, what gives? I mean, if this is just a part of it, then tell me that. You know, Murph, we've never done this before. We've never had a vaccine rollout like this before. Unfortunately, we're woefully behind, comparatively speaking, to other states. Thankfully, hospitalization's down. That's good news for our first responders. I know that they are taxed beyond belief. Ross is next out of Shelby. Ross, thanks for the call. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I want to start out by saying, long time caller, first time listener.
Well, I'm glad you know how to use a phone, and you've done so for some time, and I'm glad you finally figured out the radio.
Matt, let me ask you a question. All this preparing that they're doing in Washington, D.C., when my dear mother was alive, if you were standing close to her or whatever, somebody, and they made like a sudden movement, you flinched, you know, in defense. And my mother used to say, well, I guess you deserve that. Are they scared as people are going to do something they deserve?
Wait, do the example again. So if you, when you were a kid, if you flinched, what, like the two for flinching kind of thing?
Well, you know, like you sort of like you bowed up like you thought somebody was fixing to hit you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and she used to say, well, you must deserve that hit. Or you thought you did.
Uh-huh.
Are they preparing in Washington that pray that people are going to do something they deserve?
Well, here's the thing. A guilty conscience always shows itself. And I think for those that still have them in Washington, D.C., particularly, quote unquote, my friends that have turned to socialism as an answer to some of our problems in the United States of America, they're guilty because they know their desires. They're guilty because they understand the manner in which they used the mail-in voting system to their benefit. They understand the manner in which they used the pandemic to their benefit this election cycle. And they did, boy. And they and it worked. But they know. They know what happened throughout all of that. So I think they understand the anger and frustration of Trump supporters more than they would want to let on. And when they say, and by the way, I should note this, Ross, and you probably already know, but for the edification of the audience, when Democrats say that it's time to unite, I'll ask you, Ross, what do you think that means? When a Democrat says, Ross, it's time that we come together as a nation and unite, what does that mean?
To me, that also pertains to a herd of sheep.
Well, what it means to me, when they say, it's time, Murphy, that this country heal and come together and unite, we are far too divided. We got to get together. You know what that means? That means it's time for you to agree with us. That's what they mean. They have zero interest in walking in it. Let me ask you this. I'll tell you. I'll believe, and thanks, Ross, for the call. I'll believe the Democrats in their call for unity. I'll believe the Democrats when they tell me that they want healing in this country. When you point to me one Democrat in 2017 that called for the same, can you name me one Democrat during inauguration week of Donald J. Trump that was calling for unity? One Democrat that was saying that we need to heal as a nation? One Democrat that told us that we needed to unite behind President Donald J. Trump, for he is the president for all the people? One Democrat who said this. I'll wait. So pardon me if I'm a rather suspicious, unwilling consumer of this garbage about unity. Oh, by the way, historically and politically, America, absent wartime, has never really been united. We've always had differing beliefs about how best to fulfill the promise and the premise of the Declaration of Independence. We've always had differences of opinion about the best trajectory for federal, state, and local government. We've always had disagreements about what is and is not an appropriate use of government force and power. Always. Always. And that's okay. Now, the rancor has been turned up to a 12. And every Democrat on the block and every liberal on the block and every media member on the block, but I repeat myself, all of them point to Donald Trump. Donald Trump did it. They got a lot of stinky on them too, y'all. And they know it deep down, a lot of them. Some of them maybe not. They know they're contributing. They know social media knows it's contributing. That's why they continue their clampdown. The Democrats know it too. Takes two to tango. So is the language, is the feeling a bit more coarse than it has been in many, many years of court? And yeah, we're at a fever pitch. But this idea that, you know, at some points in human history or in American history that we've been all unified and of one mind and, not so. I mean, you know, World War II, sure. I mean, wartime, when we find a common enemy, we get behind it and we get it done. After 9/11, that burned bright for a hot minute and then burned out like magnesium. As hot as can be, as bright as can be, and gone. So when you hear, and you will this week, I guarantee you'll, if you so desire, if you listen to the Biden stuff, you'll hear it there too. If you listen to that address tomorrow, you'll hear it there too. Unity and unity and unity. And he won't do a dang thing about stopping this stupid, good-for-nothing trial in the United States Senate. And senators are about to take up the first, I don't know how many days of Biden's presidency, just absolutely, yeah, Donald Trump will not be president anymore, and he will still command the news cycle during his trial in the Senate, which I believe is extra constitutional or unconstitutional. Alabama Professional Services provides a number of things for you and your family, all home related. First and foremost, they are a pest control company and have been for a long time. I don't know how to develop a product that is not only safe for your children and your pets, but will kill the creepy crawlies or keep them away. But they have at Alabama Professional Services, and they use it on a day-to-day basis, protecting you and protecting your home. They also have an incredible poly-level lifting system that can protect you from slips and falls or cracks in the driveway or cracks in the walkway by lifting that back up to its appropriate position and then sealing it off. And then they have lawn care as well, plus foundation repair. It's all right there at Alabama Professional Services. Find out more at alabamaprofessional.com. That's alabamaprofessional.com. Yell to Slim Rob that I love him. Love you, Slim Rob. I love you, Slim Rob. I do. He's a good man. 545-9950. Enough time to slip in one or two here. There's one online, too. Tell me who that is, John Bird, if that's for me. Buckets Away Waterproofing is the number to call if you have a water issue inside of your home. So, not plumbing issue, but I'm talking about encapsulation or waterproofing problem in your home. If you have mold or mildew, if you smell it, you know the smell. You go into the basement and you just kind of smell that smell. That smell, that's a problem. You need to call Brandon and Randy of Buckets Away Waterproofing. Allow them to help. Randy and Brandon can assist in eliminating that smell out of your life forever and protecting your property and your family. 222-6443, 222-6443. Give a call today to Buckets Away Waterproofing. You'll be glad you did. So, I always find it funny. I don't know if it's funny. I guess human nature. That when the lottery gets to a certain amount, now it's of interest to us, right? And there's lines out the wazoo. I mean, if you go over, I guarantee you right now, you have hordes of Alabamians because we don't have the lottery here. Although, I'm telling you, folks, it's possible this legislative session that you'll get a chance to vote on it at some point down the road. I would expect that your lawmakers ought to give you that opportunity. I think they were preparing to do so last legislative session before it got cut short due to COVID. And so we'll find out about that some months down the road. But, you know, the Powerball is like $750 million or whatever it is, and the Mega Millions is around the same, somewhere around those. And that is interesting because it's not often the case that both of them have gotten to that point monetarily. And so you go down I-20, and you'll see the horde over there at the first exit. I guess it's exit 5, and you'll see all of the people at exit 9, and you'll see them at exit 11. I know them. You'll see them in Villa Rica. You'll see them down. And you have to go inland, if you will, into Georgia, like 20 miles to get to a lottery place at a convenience store where there's not a line around the corner to get lottery tickets. because everybody wants to play the lottery now that it's $700 million. Nobody wants to play when it's a paltry, I don't know, $90 million. Hey, it ain't worth my time.
I mean, you're right. It's only $90 million. But look, now it's $750 million.
Right. Not, no, I ain't going to play. What? Hey, what's the lottery? I think Jeff Foxworthy did a bit on this one time. Man, what? Hey, what? 800 million? Heck yeah, I'll buy 10 scratches and then give me some scratchies and I'll buy 10 picks and draws. And then, you know, the next week, you're going to play the lottery. Well, how much is it? 38 million. Ah, 38 million.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
Whatever.
What do you think the line is for most people?
Yeah, I think it's changed over the years, but no, it's certainly when it gets to triple, when it gets to $100 million and more, you see it build on itself slowly but exponentially until the point that, you know, now it's just absolute. To the point that last night the wife is saying,
is anybody from the radio station going to get a lottery ticket? Because we could give them some gas money.
Not that my wife sounds like that, but you get it. Yeah. Well, I wish you luck. Just make yourself a personal promise that if you or anyone in your family or anyone in your extended family wins the lottery, you'll slide Matt Murphy $1 million based on this. Good luck. See there? Good luck. I wish you luck.
I want $100.
I have a hope that you will give me $1 million if you win the lottery. Get it? See?
Hope. We talked about that earlier.
No Oscar Mayer, Wiener Mobile. John Bird's fired. Back tomorrow. See you then.